Good evening. This is Peter Tobin introducing Lux Radio Theatre. Tonight and every Monday night at this time, Lux Radio Theatre presents for your entertainment the finest in radio drama. Tonight we bring you The Rose Without a Thorn, a romantic and dramatic play by Clifford Bax. It is the story of beautiful young Catherine Howard, who became the fifth and greatly loved wife of King Henry VIII. It is also the story of court jealousies and intrigues, of gossiping maids of honor, who reveal not only the new queen's former love affairs, but her recently formed attachment for the king's friend, Tom Culpepper. The result is inevitable. Catherine's downfall, imprisonment, and the same fate that befell her cousin, Anne Boleyn. Listen in a few minutes to The Rose Without a Thorn, produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
The following classic Springbok Radio commercial comes to you with the courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.
When famous star Ursula Andress walks in, even a crowded Hollywood restaurant falls silent. She's been called the most beautiful girl in the world, and I happen to know that she cares for that marvelous complexion with Lux Beauty Soap.
Yes, Lux, always. I love Lux because it's so mild and pure and gentle. It's the mildest soap I know, and I just adore that perfume.
Ursula Andress, a famous star with a fabulous complexion. Why not do as she does and care for your complexion with Lux?
You love Lux.
The following classic Springbok Radio commercial comes to you with the courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.
You keep your pots and pans clean and bright.
Of course.
But that's only half the job.
Half the job?
Say 99.
Why 99?
Because Vim 99 is here. Use Vim 99 to clean your sink, pots and pans, bath and stove more than shiny bright.
More?
Yes. New Vim 99 kills 99% of household germs.
How come?
Because only Vim 99 contains powerful germ-killing microban, leaving everything hygienically clean, 99% germ-free.
Why, that's great.
It certainly is.
So when I clean with Vim 99, I'm also polishing off any germs.
That's right. Vim 99 does more than shine. It kills 99% of household germs.
And now, Act One of tonight's Lux Radio Theatre presentation, The Rose Without a Thorn.
It is a July afternoon in 1540. King Henry VIII of England and his court are in residence at Westminster Palace. The king is seeking an annulment of his marriage to Anne of Cleves, his fourth wife. In a living room of the palace, lovely young Lady Catherine Howard is busy with her needlework.
Milady.
Well, Tilney?
Mr. Francis Derham desires to see you.
Derham? Poor Frank, I'd better not see him.
He's very urgent, milady.
He always was. I never knew any man live at such breakneck speed.
I've been one of your ladies in waiting for 3 years now, madam. May I say something?
Of course. What is it?
I don't fancy he's coming to make love to you. I've told him so many times that he must forget the past and that you couldn't care for him now as you once did.
Oh, if he understands the position. Perhaps I will see him, just for a minute. But he can wait. I want to ask you something.
Milady?
Would you say that I've been less discreet than most girls?
Yes, indeed. Why, all the time we were living at the Duchess of Norfolk's, I used to be terrified that Her Grace would find out what you were doing. You seem to trust everybody.
I don't now, not since I came to court.
Of course, girls aren't so strict as they used to be. And it's natural to want to know what men are like. But I'm thankful you're not so open about it here.
Tell me, did the others know, or just you?
Marjorie Morton knew something.
Morton? About Henry Mannix, I suppose.
And I think she knew about Mr. Derham, too.
Can I trust her?
She's jealous of me. Says I'm your favorite lady-in-waiting.
She wouldn't give me away.
I think you can trust her. For one thing, your ladyship is extremely generous. She knows what she'd lose if she left you.
And the two men are safe, do you think? Mannix and Derham, I mean.
Well, it's fortunate that your uncle's the Duke of Norfolk.
They wouldn't dare boast of their conquest. It wasn't really a conquest. I just wanted to know about men. I wish now I hadn't been so silly.
So rash in the way you did it.
No. No, I wish I hadn't done it at all. You see, Tony, you see, I'm not quite sure, not at present, but I think I really am in love this time.
Well, I will say it suits you, but I can't think who it is.
You'll know soon enough. I shall probably want your help. Besides, you're so sharp. I never try to keep anything from you.
And you needn't.
Bless you. Well, Frank Denham will be getting impatient. You'd better admit him.
Very good, milady.
And don't let him stay too long.
Catherine.
Well, Frank?
It's all right. I know you don't care for me any longer.
I'm glad you know that.
I wouldn't have asked to see you if we weren't, both of us, in about the most dangerous position possible.
So you're just as thrilling as ever.
I tell you, we're in danger.
If we weren't, you'd imagine it now, wouldn't you, Frank?
Oh, be serious, Catherine. It's real. During the last 2 weeks, I've been watching the king very closely.
The king?
My dear, he's in love with you, head over ears.
Frank! Oh, Frank, I didn't think even you could imagine that.
He is. He can't take his eyes off you. And when you're not present, he keeps on making us talk about you.
How marvelous. And can you tell me whether I am to be his next bride or just a month's amusement? I'd like to know.
You don't believe it?
Of course I don't. But never mind. What am I to do?
You know how violent he is about everything. Loves or hates with his whole heart. Catherine, he must never know about us.
About us? He could hardly kill me for what I did before I knew him.
Yes, but what about that little cad Mannix? He has reason to hate me.
I don't even know where he is. But you're right, Frank. You'll need to be as careful as a mouse in a pantry. His Majesty never did like the Queen to have lovers. Remember what happened to the men who made love to my cousin Anne Boleyn?
I do. They were hanged, drawn and quartered.
And when may I expect to be married? When the marriage with Madame de Cleves has been annulled, I suppose. Is that right?
They're settling the annulment this afternoon.
Poor soul. She is rather plain.
I don't like it, Catherine. I'm not going to risk what would happen if the king ever knew.
And so?
I shall buy a small ship, hire a crew of cutthroats, and see if I can pick up a fortune off the coast of Ireland.
Oh, Frank, you'll make a marvelous pirate. And when I'm Queen of England, I'll pay for your ship. But not till then. So you'd better not spend too much on her.
But it's all true.
I look quite pretty with a crown on my head.
Heavens, how I wish you were ugly. It's going to be the devil to leave you.
Please, Frank, that's all over. Milady, His Majesty has sent a message to ask if he can use this room for a meeting with the Archbishop of Canterbury. Oh, very strange. Surely they can't be going to arrange the annulment here. Very well, Tilly. Thank you.
Thank you, milady.
Now, what do you make of that, Catherine?
I hope your ship won't cost the king's ransom.
You begin to believe me?
It is just possible.
Milady, Mr. Culpepper, the king's friend, is here.
Thomas Culpepper, I must go. Goodbye, Catherine.
Goodbye, Frank.
Mr. Culpepper, milady.
His Majesty hopes, madam, that you are well. He is coming here almost immediately. He requests that you will allow him a few minutes of private conversation with Archbishop Cranmer.
I'm honored, Mr. Culpepper. Tilney shall put out some wine.
Pardon me, madam. I have a message for your ladyship.
You may leave us, Tilney. Yes, madam.
Catherine, my darling.
No. No, Tom, no. It begins to look as though Derham were right.
Derham? What's he been saying?
A lot of nonsense. But this message from His Majesty...
Oh, there isn't one. I invented it. I had to see you alone, Catherine. You know how desperately I'm in love with you. I didn't realize it could hurt like this. It's so beautiful, but it's terrifying, too.
Don't speak of it here, Tom. We mustn't. The king is coming.
We must.
Later this evening. evening, perhaps.
Don't you love me at all?
Oh, silly one, you know I do.
Then promise you'll marry me.
I can't.
You will marry me, I know you will. Just promise.
Not now.
Yes, now.
What difference can a day or two make?
Anything might happen.
For instance?
I can't tell you. I only know that if you won't promise here and now, both our lives may be ruined.
I believe you're keeping something back.
Yes, I am. For your good as well as mine.
Oh, it's best to be frank. Love's like a rose. Mine's only half open. I can't give you that promise until I'm sure of my heart. You see, I think you are more in love than I am at present.
That much is obvious. But, Catherine, I would much rather die than see you the wife of another man.
Any man?
And sometimes I'm afraid that you'll marry another man because he could give you more than I could.
Yes.
You wouldn't do that.
I might. But I'd never marry anyone if I didn't love him at all.
I know it's only a matter of time. I know you're going to love me in my way of loving. I'm sure of it, Catherine. And I only ask that we're betrothed. To say it to anybody, I mean, who might want to marry you.
Oh, I do hate hurting people. It's here.
Say it. Say it before they come.
It wouldn't be true. Tom, let me go.
Catherine, what have you done?
His Majesty, the King. His Grace, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Permit me, Lady Catherine, to thank you for putting this room at my disposal. I have troublesome business to transact with Archbishop Cranmer, and I needed a quiet place in the palace.
You and His Grace do me an honor, sire. And you give me pleasure.
Prettily said, milady. Prettily said.
I'll leave you to your business, sire.
If it suits your convenience, let me talk with you for a while when these woeful affairs are behind me.
Your Majesty has only to summon me.
You must agree, Cranmer, that our English maidens are the comeliest in the world. Tom? Where's Tom Culpepper?
I'm here, sire.
Ah, Tom, you hear the court gossip. What do they say about Lady Catherine? Is her reputation as fair as her face?
It is, sire.
And not yet even betrothed?
Your Majesty, may I speak to you for a moment of my own affairs?
No, another time. His Grace and I have urgent business to discuss.
Did you hear me?
Hold your tongue, you mannequin! Well, Cranmer, have you got the information we need?
Yes, I've brought the evidence, and if Madame de Cleves will be reasonable, we ought to have this unhappy half-marriage annulled within a few days.
Ah.
Dare I hope, sire, that after the annulment you will think of making a true marriage?
Maybe.
The people would rejoice if their queen were English.
So, you think so too. When can you formally decree the annulment?
At the latest, in 2 weeks.
Madame de Cleves admits that the marriage was won in name only?
Yes. She begs only to be allowed to remain in London.
And to be given plenty of clothes, plenty of food. Conveniently elementary tastes. Oh, how anyone could have expected me to mate with a creature so lacking in any semblance of womanhood. Women should resemble flowers and music. If they're sweet, their minds are fragrant, and their personalities wind and curl into a man's heart like a delicate air on a musical instrument. Archbishop, how old are you?
Alas, 51.
And you, Tom?
24, sire.
If I did not love you, I should be envious. And I do love you, lad. Because though time and trouble have afflicted my body, in imagination I have never outgrown your years. I catch myself dreaming of happiness now as I did at 20. Tell me, both of you, my senior and my junior, what should a man of my years do when he finds that never before was he half so exquisitely in love?
Follow his heart, sire.
You, Tom?
I cannot answer.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Are you ill?
A little.
Young men who have loved unhappily are loath to talk on the subject.
Your Grace.
Is he right? Who is it?
Don't ask me, sire.
A good many ladies would take a hint from me.
I shall never marry.
There's only one cure for your case. Put that lady completely out of your head.
I beg you, sire, to excuse me. It's hot here.
Oh, go, Tom. But don't make a tragedy out of nothing. Your wound will soon heal. It is when we are older that to love much is perilous, for that's when the heart can be broken for good. Lady Catherine is waiting. Ask her to come here.
Yes, sir.
Your Majesty has no further need of me, I think. So I will leave you with my felicitations on your fortunate release.
You wish to see me, sir?
Well, are you terrified?
Of what, sir?
Of me.
Not at all.
Oh, thank heaven for that. By the way they all cower before me, anyone would suppose I drank blood for breakfast. True, I have purposely taught my ministers to quake. That was necessary. The country is like a spirited mare. She knows at once if her rider has not a firm seat. Maybe I am too passionate. I may be. But I'd rather a man were hot than merely tepid.
I know, sir, that you can be gentle, too.
Yes, yes. And I often want gentle companionship as I want music or sleep. And I'd give a great deal for a little genuine affection. They care only for what they can get from me.
That must be true of any man who has power.
No doubt. I like your voice. The voice tells more than the face. It is not as good a liar. Come, you're a well-bred girl. You'll not presume upon what I say. For once, Lady Catherine, let us kick ceremony behind the door. Let us be not ruler and subject, but man and maid. Will you not sit here beside me?
Most willingly.
That's an excellent beginning. And I shall call you Catherine.
And what shall I call you? Your Majesty?
Oh, no, no.
Sir?
No, I'm sick of it. Call me Harry. That's a good English name, as old as our hedgerows. No one has used that name for 5 years. Your cousin was the last to call me by my own name.
Boleyn.
She had no heart. How dared she play fast and loose with a love like mine? But we will not talk of Anne Boleyn. You are too young to know how memory can ache. I always expected so much from love.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to be sensible.
You have been in love, then?
Not as I use the word.
Schoolgirl fancies?
I suppose there were that. Will you advise me?
Well?
Supposing a man, attractive in every way, falls madly in love with a girl.
There have been such incidents.
If she's not really in love with him, ought she to risk a marriage or to make him miserable?
A great question indeed. I wonder how my counsel would decide it.
What do you say?
If he's young, he will recover.
I'm not in love with him.
Are you sure?
Sure.
Then you'd best send him packing. A bad marriage is the devil. I shall soon be rescued from my force.
Is it all arranged?
2 weeks, and I shall have put it behind me.
Madame de Cleves was actually afraid for her life.
Oh, ludicrous.
I know. But Harry...
Oh, go on.
I wonder if you'll hate me for saying it.
You are privileged.
Makes me shudder when I hear that men have been executed.
You dare reproach me?
So many have died that way, or lain in prison for many years.
When the world's wiser, they won't. Meanwhile, they must.
Men like Thomas Wyatt? He's a poet, the best in England.
A man may write poetry in prison. I shall give Sir Thomas Wyatt all the help that his muse requires.
I know him, and at heart he is one of your most devoted servants.
He must learn to obey. By heaven, Catherine, you've courage enough for an army.
I did know the risk.
There was no risk for you. But you couldn't keep a kingdom in order, not for a day. Oh, I am used to being misjudged. They think I am callous about men and cynical about women. Cynical. I, who cannot cure myself of believing them to be as beautiful as they look. I love with the whole heart. That is, I used to, when I was young. I could now, if I dared.
Dad?
Another disillusion would make me an old man, and worse. It is endless worry that has ruined my health.
If you liked, you could build it up again, surely.
I could. And I will. Oh, but I wish I were 20 again. I wish you had known me when I was 20. You weren't born even.
So it's my turn to be 20 now.
I was an athlete, a good tennis player, a good dancer.
I know.
We'd have made a gallant pair in a pattern. But you don't understand. I've been remembering emotions which I haven't felt for a dozen years.
Then you're growing backwards already.
I wonder how far you could take me back.
Almost to 20.
Oh, I love England, every meadow and river of England. And you are like her very symbol, like a rose in the morning.
A briar rose?
A rose without a thorn.
That's what you are, if any woman can be. Give me your hands.
Poor Harry.
Look me in the eyes.
What do you see?
Yes. A new life, Catherine.
A happier life.
The green realm of England would make a fair setting for the rose without a thorn.
You can't really mean...
Yes. You shall be Queen of England.
Harry.
Be gentle. Be loyal. And love me well. This time, there's no mistake.
Are you sure? Quite sure?
I've not been in hell for nothing. I know the look of heaven when I catch a glimpse of it.
You shall be proud of me.
Will you be proud? When all the bells of London are pealing for joy of you.
Who wouldn't be? And I do know how to be happy. So must you.
Now, indeed, I am glad I was born to splendor and power. Every woman in our kingdom will have to give way to you.
But when we're alone, I shall still call you Harry.
Sweetheart, my life's in your hands. I shall get back my old enthusiasm, my old good humor. I've grown heavy. I'll see to it. From tomorrow, I'll rise at 6 o'clock every morning and go for a canter by the riverside. It is worth doing now. I'll drink less wine and spend less time at the table. I swear I'll get well again, and soon. This evening, my pretty one, I shall send you a pair of emerald earrings. The first of 1,000 gifts.
And I'll wear them as long as you love me.
Oh, no, no, that would mean forever. And I would have your beauty as variable as the clouds in a summer sky.
You wanted me, madam?
It was I who rang. Send in Thomas Culpepper.
No.
At once.
Yes, sir. Tell him tomorrow.
He must know what's happened. I think the lad loves me a little, and he shall learn to love you. Oh, sweetheart. You'll be the best-loved queen England ever possessed.
You wanted me, sire.
Come in, boy. You shall be the first to kneel before the lady who is to be your sovereign.
To be my... I obey your majesty.
Shall I not have the most beautiful wife in Europe?
In the world, sire.
I think so, too. I will leave you now, my love. But we will ride together at noon tomorrow. You and I will never grow tired of talking. My whole life now turns on you, Catherine. Come, Tom!
Goodbye, my lord. Pray heaven I may keep you happy. Tilly! 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 Milady, shut the door. What's going to happen? I've been mad. The king is going to marry me.
Yes.
I could have stopped it. I could have married someone else.
You'll be a great lady.
I know. There was Anne Boleyn.
She disgraced the king.
I'll never do that. Tilly, darling, stop me if ever I seem likely to do what my cousin did.
You won't be so foolish.
Make me swear it.
Never to be unsafe.
I swear it. I do.
Poor lamb. Now do you feel better?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, thank you. I had a sudden feeling like walking to the scaffold. But it's all right now. And it's going to be magnificent, isn't it, to be actually a queen? I shan't forget you, Tony.
There.
But nobody knows about Mannix and Derham. Only you and Morton, perhaps.
Morton runs with the wind. The wind is behind you now.
But what about Mary?
Mary Lascelles. She now serves Madame de Cleves.
Yes, but she was with us in the old days, and she hated me.
Does she gossip? Gossip? Milady, you make me laugh. Does a tombstone gossip?
Sometimes. But that's what I wanted to know. Oh, Tilney, soon I shall be queen of all this lovely England.
Tell Francis Derham to buy a good ship.
He'll understand.
following classic Springbok Radio commercial comes to you with the courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.
Marvelous! No filling!
Marvelous indeed! But then you brush regularly with new Pepsodent, the toothpaste of which a leading dental authority says...
Brushing with new Pepsodent removes the biggest cause of tooth decay, the dangerous dulling film.
So make sure you and your family brush regularly with new Pepsodent and help keep your teeth white, healthy, and free from decay. Then you'll know the happy feeling of being able to say...
Marvelous! No filling!
For you and your family, new Pepsodent safeguards against decay.
And now I feel like a little exercise, Audley. You shall come and pit your skill against mine.
I trust, sir, you will excuse me.
I shall not excuse you. You shall forget that you are Lord Chancellor, and you shall throw off your gown, roll up your sleeves, and get back your youth as I've got mine.
But I never shoot now.
12 months ago, I should have said the same. But see what happiness has done for me. Now I'm shooting better than I've ever done. Off you go, Tom. Prepare the bows and fetch a quiver.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I wish that boy wouldn't marry. It's not natural. He used to be 10 times as gay as he is now. I wonder why the Queen's so long in coming. I'll tell you, Audley, she is so perfect to my mind that I grudge every hour that keeps me apart from her. And she can work miracles. I'm proof of it. Ah, Catherine, my dear.
My dear Lord.
Oh, whenever you come, it's like the return of spring.
My Lord Audley, greetings.
Your Majesty.
Ah, Tom, my boy, you've brought the bows. Come, Audley, we'll have our match. There's a long stretch of grass on the other side of the palace. That's where we'll shoot. We won't be long, sweetheart. Tom shall stay and keep you company.
I repeat, sir...
Nonsense! If you've lost your skill, recover it now. Come, I'll be your tutor.
Catherine.
For the love of heaven, be careful.
I must speak to you, Catherine. Send Tilney away.
No, I dare not.
I can't speak to you in front of anyone else. Not even Tilney.
Don't go, Tilney. Sir, I implore you not to say anything. Last night, oh, it was madness. My nerves going.
Catherine, after last night, you know you're as much mine as if we had married.
No, Donna, no. I ought never to have let you come.
But every month we've been drawing closer and closer. It was bound to happen in the end. I always knew it.
Oh, Tom, don't you see? I didn't love you quickly enough. Nor did I love you now. That's our tragedy. You wanted to marry me and... I married another. It's you that I really love, and you know it. But I'm not going to give way to my feelings ever again.
You will, you must. With Tilney's help, we're going to be lovers for the rest of our lives.
No, no. You don't realize the danger. It isn't only I. Other people are watching you. Nobody else knew about last night.
Who else? Morton?
No. We managed it once. But I daren't risk it again. Every minute last night, I was terrified... In case the king should send for Madam. It mustn't happen again. Not ever again.
Catherine, it was so...
Don't. I know that.
We can't throw it away. If we're careful, there's no danger.
No, Madam.
It's no good pretending, dearest. You can't mean it to end like this.
I'm yours as long as life endures. But never again as I was last night. Thank heaven.
Why?
Why?
I married him. He's happy.
But he'll never know.
Tom, go away. Go away. I risked your life.
Then risk it again. For without you, the world is nothing.
If I'd married you when I was free. But I wasn't sure then. And now it's too late. Oh, don't you see?
If Tilney weren't here, I could win you back. I know I could.
Beloved, you never lost me.
Be careful now. Someone's coming.
I'll go now. But whenever you want me, I'll come. Just remember.
Sweetheart, come here. Come here. My eye is in. It's a good 10 years since I hit the gold as I'm hitting it today.
My lord, I'll watch you gladly. Dear Harry, you're just like a schoolboy. That's how I like you best.
Mary Lascelles,
What brings you to the palace?
Madame de Cleves sent me. She cannot attend the king's entertainment this evening.
Oh, the mask. Yes, the musicians should be here soon. Oh, well, you wouldn't have enjoyed it. You're always so glum.
Still worrying about your immortal soul.
I take life seriously, Morton, that's all.
It's lucky for you that you're not with the Queen. She's a great deal merrier than your poor dear madam.
I'd rather not be in the Queen's service.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
Out with it.
I saw too much when I was with her.
Hold your tongue, Mary.
Nonsense, Tilney. We're all friends. You're thinking of Henry Mannix, Mary, and Francis Derham.
Stop it, Morton. One word more and I'll report you to Her Majesty. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. It's nothing but gossip.
Oh, don't you believe her, Mary. And if I'm not as blind as a bat, Tilney could tell us a very interesting story about another young man.
How dare you?
An up-to-date story. Exceedingly up-to-date.
What? Has she been sinning again?
I warn you. What you're saying is treasonable. And you know what happens to traitors, don't you?
Mary won't pass it on.
She wouldn't be long for this world if she did. Nor would you.
Tony, you're not going to tell her? The Queen? You can't.
Not this time.
Oh, my tongue ran away with me. Of course, it was all a pack of nonsense.
Not all. Not about Henry Mannox.
You can prattle about that at your own risk. But you're not to breathe a word about anything I've hinted.
If I weren't a coward, I'd have spoken long ago. My brother said I should.
You must swear that you'll never repeat a word of what I've said. I've no intention of being torn to pieces because you're a prig and a little fool.
Stop it, Morton. Let me go.
Swear you'll not say a word.
Let her go, Morton.
Oh, I'm coming.
Why, it's Mary Lascelles.
I have a message, Your Majesty.
From Madame de Cleves. What is it?
She received the King's gracious invitation to his mask this evening, but regrets she cannot attend.
What a pity. His Majesty will be much disappointed. So shall I.
Thank you, madam. I'll go and tell her.
Well, the ordeal's over, Audley. Cheer up, man. Tomorrow you're certainly going to be sore about the shoulders.
It's hot work.
Then you'd best have a goblet of sack, and so shall I. You'll come with us, Catherine?
Yes, my lord.
Tell me, Mary went before I could get her to swear. Will she speak, do you think?
Not if she knows what's good for her. But how could you be so foolish, Morton?
I was only teasing. Oh, she's so disagreeable. Oh, but I trust she doesn't tell her brother.
Brother?
He's even more of a prig than she is. Always talking about his duty. Oh, I'm afraid, Tilney.
Ah, Your Grace. The King feared you might be late for his little entertainment. The players are ready and the musicians waiting.
I've been delayed, my Lord Audley. Something has happened, and I'm glad to have this chance to speak to you alone.
Well, Your Grace?
A man named Lascelles has come to me with a most serious charge. A charge against the Queen.
The Queen?
His sister was once in the Duchess of Norfolk's household. She is ready to swear that two men, Henry Mannox and Francis Derham, were the Queen's lovers during that time.
And you believe her?
She affirms that one of the Queen's ladies could corroborate the evidence. A lady named Marjorie Morton.
If this is a malicious untruth, it must be stopped at once. In my opinion, we are bound to inform His Majesty.
I agree, but who will tell him? It will take some courage. Will you tell him, my Lord Chancellor?
No, he will listen more patiently to you, the Archbishop.
I have no intention of telling him by word of mouth. None. I should pity the man who did so.
Not to inform him is in itself treasonable. We should be aiding and abetting.
I have written a statement of the charges and arranged for it to be handed to the King as soon as the play is over and he is alone. And I have sent for the girl to come here.
My dear Archbishop, how charming of you to lend countenance to our little entertainment.
I thank Your Majesty for inviting me. You were good to do so.
She is not good. Madam, you are found out.
Have I offended? In what, my lord?
You have betrayed me.
No.
Grievously. Grievously. Eh, Tom? Tom Culpepper knows.
I beseech
you to let me know in what way I have erred.
I will. The Countess of Salisbury is a prisoner in the tower by my order. You have been sending her blankets.
She is so old.
Oh, I managed to frighten you that time. Oh, bless your kind heart, I'll forgive you. What is there I wouldn't forgive you? But let nobody take the Queen's action as a precedent. She is privileged. I love every inch of her. And I cannot say that about the rest of you.
My lord.
And now, Your Grace, and you, my Lord Audley, and Tom, too. shall witness the love and joy which unite Her Majesty and myself. Sweetheart, in this little box is a token of my delight in you, deftly contrived in gold by the best jeweler in my realm. Open it and you shall see a rose without thorns.
My lord, you have given me many gifts, but I know that here is the one to be most prized because of its meaning. You've made me so happy that I have happiness to spare. And if I were not afraid of overclouding your heart, I should beg you to let me give certain others the overplus of my joy.
Others?
My dear lord, I humbly petition for the freedom of Sir Thomas Wyatt and the other two ambassadors who have been so long imprisoned in the tower. Let their gratitude be added to mine. Will you?
How can I?
It is impossible, sire.
Is it impossible, my Lord Audley, for the king to show mercy?
I will consider it.
Now, at once?
You ought to be burned at the stake. You're a witch. I grant your petition. Audley, make sure that these gentlemen admit their fault. If they do so, release them.
My whole heart blesses you.
Hold there, fellow. Serve everyone with wine. Affairs await us. But before we begin our little play, I have a toast to make. God gave your queen beauty. I gave her power. The years will bring her wisdom. Drink with me in praise of a lady who surpasses all others in beauty of body and spirit alike. The Queen!
The Queen! The Queen!
Your Majesty.
What is it?
I have been instructed by the Archbishop of Canterbury to give you this document.
Document? Cranmer, what is this?
I had not intended it to be delivered in public, sir.
Oh, come, come. What is it all about?
Keep it, and I will speak to you in private.
In private? I'll hear you now. Out with it.
I obey your Majesty, but my heart is heavy. We have grave charges to put before you. So grave that I dare not utter them. I have committed them to writing. We pray your Majesty to peruse this paper.
Hmm.
Her Majesty must forgive me.
Yeah. Hmm. Hmm. Mary Lascelles? What? 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 Marjorie Morton? How dare they? Who is it? Who? Henry Mannix.
My lord, what is written there?
If they have lied, I'll be avenged, and no man shall ever forget my vengeance.
I beseech you, my lord.
Looking at your face, is it possible? Is it? Is it?
If anyone has besmirched my name, I have a right to know the charges.
So you shall, if need be.
Lascelles and Morton, what have they said against me?
Here is the woman, Lascelles. Let her speak for herself.
Oh, your Majesty, my lady, forgive me, forgive me. I wouldn't have said a word about Henry Mannox if it weren't that for 3 years my conscience has been accusing me for a silence that was a lie. I didn't want to hurt you. I spoke for the welfare of your immortal soul. But, oh, if they kill you...
Take this creature away instantly.
Sire, we shall need her evidence.
Do what you will, then, only leave me before I give way to the fury that is mounting within me. Madam, go to your room. Do not stir from it till you hear from me. You will go under guard.
Upon mere suspicion, my lord. Why, at present, I do not even know the wrong I am said to have done.
If it is false, I will avenge you. If not...
My lord!
If not... You were young. It was 3 years ago. Into your room. I will have no one here except Thomas Culpepper.
Me?
Hardly get rid of everyone. Your Grace, pray accompany the Queen.
Your Majesty... I have done more than you know, more than anyone will ever know to safeguard your happiness. I shall give you no cause for sorrow. None.
I shall lead her women for their full investigation.
Take them with you. Examine them tonight. Be gone with all of you.
As it pleases your Majesty.
Oh, at last they've gone. Tom, it's not possible, is it? You don't think it's possible.
May I see the document?
Here, read it. Oh, why did I love her? Why did I give away my heart? Ooh, fool, my curse upon all women.
If it is true,
it
sire.
It is true, Tom. Not a doubt of it. I knew that when the saleswoman was grubbling at her feet. The woman had told the truth.
It happened a long time ago.
How can that help me? You're cold and fortunate in that, and you cannot know what it means to a man of passionate feeling. How can I look at her again? How could I touch her? touch of her lips would scald me. For I should imagine that little rat of a man savoring her sweetness in his imagination. I will not have him alive on the same earth, I tread.
Be just to her, sire. She did you no wrong. To punish her for a folly committed before she had met you, that would be cruel and unjust. I think, sire, it would be monstrous.
If the man dies, I could perhaps get over it in time.
Believe me, sire, you will.
If he dies, but I'll not have him walking the world and remembering.
By any power to sway you, I implore you to be gentle, to pardon her, to keep in mind what she is, not what she was in the past.
There are men who think lightly of love. I could never do that. Are such men my betters? Am I a savage to put so much value upon the purity of love? Or is it that I am a man through and through, while they are mere half-men, left high and dry by the great tides of passion like little stagnant pools in the rocks? I only know that I have adored the beauty of women, and that, for better or worse, the manhood in me is a live and intolerable force. And that once again I have suffered because I hoped greatly.
I cannot believe you will hurt her, sire.
It was long ago. Before I knew her, she was a foolish girl.
Then hold fast to that.
I shall try. Could I live without her? Could I live with her now? And yet I believe she does love me.
And will not dishonor you, I think.
Again? There'd be no forgiveness for that. None. None. Impossible.
Impossible.
I could almost wish that I, too, were some lily-livered half-man. Then it would be easy. It will be difficult, but it can be done. I'll stamp out instinct. I'll smother imagination. And those who are to judge her shall be astounded when they find that I of all men, intend to forgive her. If she were faithless now, she would break my heart.
You keep your pots and pans clean and bright.
Of course.
But that's only half the job.
Half the job?
Say 99.
Why 99?
Because Vim 99 is here. Use Vim 99 to clean your sink, pots and pans, bath and stove more than shiny bright.
More?
Yes. New Vim 99 kills 99% of household germs.
How come?
Because only Vim 99 contains powerful germ-killing microban, leaving everything hygienically clean, 99% germ-free.
Why, that's great.
It certainly is.
So when I clean with Vim 99, I'm also polishing off any germs.
That's right. Vim 99 does more than shine. It kills 99% of household germs.
Now, where's my shield roll-on? Ah. Just using shield makes me feel super. Flows on all nice and cool. Dries in seconds. Not a bit sticky. Shield. That's a terrific name for it. Makes me sure of myself all day. Glad I changed to Shield.
My Lord Audley, as Lord Chancellor, I ordered you to undertake this inquiry, and I rely upon you to make it as brief as possible.
Of course, sire. We have heard Mary Lascelles. I have only two more witnesses, the maids of honor, Morton and Tilney.
I have no wish to hear this wretched story three times over. I'm forced to believe it.
Mary Lascelles, there will be a jealous woman who imagines that all other women are doing what she would like to do herself.
You forget. That Mannix fellow has confessed his guilt.
Nevertheless, I humbly beg leave to call Marjorie Morton. She is waiting outside.
Oh, well, well.
Ah, woman, come here. Now then, you are Marjorie Morton, maid of honor to Her Majesty?
Yes, sir.
You know why you're here?
I suppose...
Speak up.
It's about the Queen.
If you do not tell the truth, you will pay for it. If you conceal nothing, you have nothing to fear.
When Her Majesty was Lady Catherine Howard, she lived with her aunt, the Duchess of Norfolk. The Duchess had other young women in her charge, and she appointed three of you to look after them. Yourself, Mary Lascelles, and Catherine Tilney.
Yes, sir.
There were certain gentlemen living in the castle. Henry Mannox and Francis Dedham, and two or three others.
Yes.
Did you ever see or hear anything suspicious?
I didn't say it before His Majesty. I did.
Stop whimpering. His Majesty requires to know exactly what happened.
The ladies were very high-spirited. Sometimes they used to admit these gentlemen to the dormitory where they slept, and they had suppers together at midnight if it was warm.
And your eyes were glued to the keyhole?
Oh, be quick, I have heard enough.
They were not content with eating and drinking?
No, sir.
Keep your voice up.
No, sir. For quite a time they didn't do anything disgraceful. But of course it happened in the end.
Mannox and Lady Catherine were lovers. Do you swear that?
You keep repeating that man's name. I won't have it.
Your pardon, sire. Well, Morton?
Yes, sir. They were.
What brought this affair to an end?
Oh, Your Majesty, I implore you to let me go. I can't answer that question. I can't.
Answer it once.
Dereham came. Francis Dereham. He'd always been mad about her.
You mean to suggest that she broke with the other man because Dereham made love to her?
Yes.
Another. A second. Man after man. Dozens and dozens. How much more must I hear? Apprehend this man, Dereham. Send him before the council. The council shall give him his deserts.
There was no one after Dereham.
No, my lord. We left Her Grace then to come here.
2 years ago.
10,000 years could not help me out of my sight.
Your Majesty, I still have a question to put. A weighty one.
Will you flay me alive?
You will never rest if you do not learn all the truth.
Rest? It has gone from my mind forever.
By your leave, sire. Now, my girl, could Catherine Tilney add anything to what you've told us?
Tilney? I'm not to blame for what she's done.
Oh, what has she done?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so confused. I don't know what I've said or what you suppose I've been hinting. I didn't mean anything at all.
Leave the room.
Oh, is there no end to my shame? If ever this leaks out, I shall be the laughingstock of Europe. The king who doted like an enamored schoolboy upon a woman who had hurried from the arms of one profligate to another. I'll have no more of it.
With all respect, I must beg of you, sire, to hear the last witness, Catherine Tilney.
I'll hear no more.
Your Majesty, I'm acting only for your honor. I have grave suspicions.
Well, call the woman, but make short work of it. I'm tired.
You are Catherine Tilney, maid of honor to Her Majesty?
Yes.
We have evidence that Henry Mannox was the Queen's lover while she was living with the Duchess of Norfolk, and that he was later succeeded by Francis Dereham.
Morton told you that?
Do you support her evidence?
No. It's a lie, a disgraceful lie. I know nothing whatever against Her Majesty.
Have you ever seen a prisoner stretched on the rack?
No, sir.
Each limb is stretched slowly out of its socket.
I know.
That is the treatment in store for a perjurer, man or woman.
How much of the others told you?
Never mind. Since her marriage to the king, you have been the most intimate of her maids of honor. Well?
I think I have.
During that period of 12 months, how has the queen conducted herself?
She's been a true wife to His Majesty.
You have discontinued your practice of admitting lovers to her bedroom.
Of course.
That is a clear admission that to do so was once your practice.
You bewilder me.
Having lied about the past, you are lying about the present. The whole truth is in our possession. And if you are wise, you will admit everything.
I shall tell you nothing.
Then I fear... How shall I phrase it? I fear I shall have to put pressure upon you.
The rack.
The rack. I will have it brought in here. A close view of it ought to interest you.
Have mercy, Your Majesty.
Speak, woman.
You still deny that the Queen has had a lover since her marriage?
I do.
Very well. With Your Majesty's permission.
You can't. You can't.
I can. I shall ring for it to be brought in.
I couldn't stand it. I know I couldn't. The strain of these last weeks has been terrible. Oh, Your Majesty, I do implore you to let me go. I love her. I love her.
I have my hand on the bell.
What will she think of me? I can't say it, I can't.
I give you 5 seconds.
No. Oh, no, not that.
will tell you. It's true. The Queen did take a lover 3 days ago. Only that once.
I knew it.
My rose without a thorn.
Who was the man?
Thomas Culpepper.
Tom. Oh, not Tom.
Oh, let me die with her. Let me die with her.
Be silent. You may go.
Catherine. I shall never see her again.
What shall we do, sire? Refer it to the council.
They will sentence her to death.
Sire.
Order my horse to be saddled at once.
Your horse? Where are you going, sire?
Riding. Riding away into the country, anywhere.
Alone?
If any man follows me, he will die.
If only Archbishop Cranmer would come.
Yes, Tilney. But we know in our hearts what the verdict will be, do we, milady? The king never loved anyone as he loved you.
They all thought he would rage at me. And you say he wept.
So you see, there's hope.
Tilney, I believe that in law they punish an accomplice as much as the guilty person.
You mean I shall go to the block?
If I do, yes.
Do you think I would ever live happily after what I've done to you? Forgive me, forgive me.
You know I forgave you at once. Otherwise I wouldn't have petitioned to have you with me in prison.
Only I'd had another chance. I could bear anything.
Forgiveness? I ought to ask that of you. Was it worse for you to tell them what I'd done than for me to do it? I fear I have thrown away your life.
They couldn't.
Hush. Someone is coming. Good evening, my Lord Archbishop. It is most good of you to come.
I come as your very sorrowful servant, madam.
What have they done to Thomas Culpepper?
He is in prison.
He will be
executed tomorrow at noon.
For me? Poor Tom.
Your Grace, tell me, is there any hope for the Queen?
I have come, as the King desired me, from the meeting of the Council. They deliberated for more than 5 hours, and they sifted the evidence with the greatest possible care.
And the sentence, is it execution?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, the lady.
Let me hasten to add, though, that His Majesty gives you permission to appeal against the verdict and to defend yourself at a final session of the Council.
I have no defense.
But surely you will appeal. If you stood before them, I think they would pity you, as I do.
They would not spare the lives of the men who loved me.
No, madam.
Then I shall not ask for my own life. I wish I'd had a child, that's all. Tell me.
Madam.
Will they let me see Thomas Culpepper before we die?
That is out of the question.
Perhaps you will see him.
I shall.
Give him my love.
I dare not do that.
Oh, please. We shall soon be out of this world forever, not able to injure anybody anymore.
I cannot be too careful.
But just that? Oh, you will, won't you? It would help him. I know it would. Make me not so unhappy.
If I see him alone...
Yes?
I will do as you wish.
But you will see him alone.
I think you may count on it.
God bless you. And what of Tilney?
Your woman will die with you on the same scaffold just afterwards.
The king?
He rode away. He did not come back till last night, and nobody knows where he went.
I hope he has forgiven me.
His Majesty?
I was thinking of someone else.
Poor lady.
You must think me very wicked. And yet you're kind. I hope I shall have courage to die well.
My child,
Make your peace with God. He will give you strength.
And afterwards, I shall be wiser than you, Archbishop.
That may well be true.
Shall I see you again when it happens?
Yes, then.
I'm glad you will be there. You've helped me. I'm not afraid now. I can face it without flinching.
Yes.
I believe I had it in me to be happier than most people. That can't be helped. I shall die as the Queen of England. But how I wish I had lived and died as the wife of the man I loved.
Following classic Springbok Radio commercial comes to you with the courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.
Do you know that Radeon gives such wonderful results in washing machines that South Africa's three leading washing machine makers give away a packet with every spin dryer and wringer machine they sell?
It's true. They're so keen that you get the whitest possible wash that they give you a free packet of Radeon.
They know that Radeon doesn't over-lather.
That it puts extra whitening power instead of just extra suds into every packet.
This means fewer suds to rinse out, so your wash is always fresh and fragrantly clean.
And they know you'll actually see the difference that Radeon's extra whitening power makes.
So do what washing machine makers recommend.
Use Radeon in your washing machine.
The following classic Springbok Radio commercial comes to you with the courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.
Wherever she goes, sensational Raquel Welch turns heads. Men and women are entranced by her beauty, her magnificent figure, her flawless, smooth as ivory skin. Just how does Raquel Welch care for her skin? With Lux Beauty Soap, of course. It's a fact that today, more than ever, Lux is the beauty soap of the stars. Let Raquel Welch tell you for herself why it is that more and more beautiful young stars make Lux Beauty Soap their soap.
I love Lux most of all for the perfect care it gives my skin. That's why I always use Lux.
Beautiful stars, beautiful skin. Lux Beauty Soap can do the same for you.
In tonight's presentation, The Rose Without a Thorn, you heard Angela Lynn White as Lady Catherine Howard, Harold Freed as King Henry VIII, and Roger Service as Tom Culpepper. Others in the cast were Ian Calder, Derek Taylor, Maureen Adair, Moira Winslow, Ivor Kisson, and Shirley Malam. The Rose Without a Thorn was produced for Lux Radio Theatre by Anne Freed and directed by Henry Diffenthorpe.